Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. I have SMA Type 2, and I am a columnist and forums director for SMANewsToday.com. Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. And joining me today, we have Janelle Fiesta and Antoine Vuong. Janelle is an adult with SMA, and Antoine is her partner. We met at last year's SMA conference. So Janelle, Antoine, very excited to have you both on today.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having us today, Kevin.
Absolutely. So, you know, we'll be talking about your relationship, your individual stories, and also your experiences at the conference last year. So thank you both for joining me today. And to get started, let's just start hearing a little bit about yourselves, your stories. So, Janelle, why don't you start? Tell us a little bit about your background, what you do, anything you want to share about your story.
Sure. So, hi, my name is Janelle Fiesta. I was born and raised in Honolulu, Hawaii, and I live with spinal muscular atrophy type 2. I was diagnosed around the age of 1, and I became a wheelchair user roughly around the age of 5. So I've never been able to walk before, so the wheelchair life is practically all that I've ever known. I'm really interested in drawing, particularly digital artwork, and I also love playing video games. So I went to my local community college to pick up the basics of graphic design, where I graduated with my associate. And my primary job is that of, I work for the Department of Navy. So I do like a lot of clerical work in an office. But in my free time, I like working on my little side hustle, which is my business. It's called Cute Loot Arts, and it's like a passion project where I actually get to do create artwork, and I like to go to events such as conventions or expos and stuff like that to share my art with other people. And yeah, that's practically what I've been up to for these couple of years now.
That's awesome. And yeah, for our listeners, Janelle contributed to our 31 Days of SMA campaign last year and wrote about her artwork and, getting into that venture creatively and everything. So we'll definitely talk more about that. So thank you very much, Janelle. And then Antoine, so can you also share a little bit about your story and your background?
Cool. I met Janelle in around high school, and
your background, Antoine.
yeah, I know my background. Oh well, I like video games. I play a lot of them, so I'm into like game design. I went to college for 3D animation, so I know how to like make things move in 3D and stuff. Although currently I'm working data entry with city and county, so I'm doing like tech election stuff. And yeah, I like playing video games. I play Super Smash Brothers.
Nice.
C+. I also play Magic the Gathering. Not a video game. Well, I mean, it could be, but I play Magic the Gathering. And D&D too. So that's kind of what I spend most of my time on. Work. Helping Janelle out and playing games.
Very cool. Yeah, no, all over the video game and tabletop spectrum. That's awesome. Antoine, are you also from Hawaii?
Oh, yeah. I guess I left that part out. Yeah, I was born and raised in Hawaii, Kalihi, Oahu, Honolulu. I'm just calling out names at that point. But yeah.
Awesome. Very cool. And we'll talk more about your relationship in just a minute. And then Janelle, talking about your artwork a little more, can you talk about are there any like tools or adaptive technology you use to draw? Because I ask because I know like I have very limited arm strength as someone with SMA, and I know that varies in the community. But Do you use any kind of tools to help you with that? And can you talk a little bit more about your process there with creating?
Yeah, of course. So I actually use, a lot of artists use like digital tablets with like pens and everything. I actually use my keyboard and mouse. They're not exactly adaptive technology, but it's just like a basic keyboard and mouse. I use the program Adobe Illustrator, and it's basically a digital vector program that allows me to draw using my keyboard and mouse. I still sometimes use my digital tablet and my pen to like sketch things out, but I just find it a lot more easier and convenient to use the keyboard and mouse whenever I'm creating artwork. I also have experience with like using pencils and pens and charcoal, things like that. But again, due to the physical aspect of it all, I just find it more easier to do things when I'm drawing digitally.
That's great. And is there any kind of either drawings or material you really like to work with? Like, I mean, as far as the themes in your art, do you kind of draw pretty much anything and everything, or what's kind of your favorite thing to create?
Growing up, I grew up watching like Disney movies. I watched some like anime. I also enjoy Pokemon and like all sorts of different influences. But at the end of the day, what I like to draw nowadays is like sometimes when we go out, we see like all sorts of like interesting food or like desserts or drinks and stuff. So like I like drawing food, but I also have an interest in like cute animals and stuff like that. So I just been combining the two. So it's cute animals with food. That's basically been my shtick for like the past how many years now. So like sometimes we go out to like a bakery and I see some like neat looking pastry and I'll be like, oh, that looks cool. It'd be cool if like we could like incorporate some sort of animal with it, like a bunny. So it like if you like puns and stuff, it literally becomes like a sticky bunny kind of thing. So yeah, that's practically how I create the art that I do.
That's awesome. And yeah, no, I remember in your 31 Days story talking about the influence of Disney movies and, you know, watching those during hospitalizations, and that really gave you the inspiration to make your own art. So that's awesome. Awesome. And let's then talk about your relationship. So Antoine, we'll start with you because you said you and Janelle met in high school. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
So like, I guess when I said met during high school, that's about how old we were.
Okay,
specifically,
gotcha.
I met her on World of Warcraft.
Okay, cool.
Her cousin introduced me to, I play WoW with my friend, and my friend played with his cousin, and Janelle is my friend's cousin. So then we were playing together for a bit. It was not a love at first sight thing. She thought I was an idiot. I thought she was an idiot.
I didn't like him.
Things happened, long story short, and we started texting, and then we started seeing each other more often. But yeah, that was around when high school. We went to different high schools. I went to Farrington High School. She went to Moanalua High School. So it's not like on the other side of the island. It's like a 20, 30 minute drive or something. But yeah.
It's just two things I love about that story. A, that World of Warcraft was the origin. And then also that like you didn't even like each other at the beginning. This is perfect.
He was really like, I didn't like him because he would like enchant his gear with all sorts of stuff. Like he had a fiery sword or daggers. And I was like, you don't even need fiery daggers. And he's like, oh, it's just cooler, you know, but I was not having it.
I mean, if you can't tell from my background, like I'm all for nerdy origin stories. So is that, and that's even better that the reason for your not liking was related to the game itself, not anything else. But I love it. So Well, on a different note there, Antoine, can you talk about, before you met Janelle, what was your exposure to disability and or to SMA?
Oh, yeah. So prior to meeting Janelle, I was ignorant and pretty rude because, you know, around that age, but when I was younger, I thought, wow, you're in a wheelchair. You must be an idiot or you must be dumb kind of thing. But yeah, growing up and meeting Janelle and learning more about disability and stuff, there is no connection. Sometimes, like if you have a physical disability, it does not limit your mental things at all, and vice versa. So there's some people who don't have any physical disabilities at all, and they could just have some mental things holding them down. And so yeah, prior to meeting Janelle, ignorant and rude, but you know, we learn.
Well, and I'll say too, just on that note, like, I mean, there is still a stigma regarding physical disabilities that also means cognitive disabilities. And I want to put it full there. There's nothing wrong with having a cognitive disability. But yeah, that's absolutely, I mean, no, I appreciate your honesty there that there is, you know, a lot of that ignorance is ingrained in our society. And so, so Janelle, then with that, as you and Antoine got to know each other, what were conversations like when you started to, you know, educate him about SMA and disability?
Oh, that is a good question. So I might take a little detour. So when I wanted to meet Antoine in person, because our interactions had been only through World of Warcraft, an online platform, I wasn't sure if he knew he knew my situation regarding my physical disability and SMA. I wasn't sure how much my cousin talked to him about like my disability or if he even mentioned it at all. So when I first met Antoine in person, it was like a really, what's that word? It was a nerve-wracking experience for me because I didn't know how he would react to my disability and me being in a wheelchair. I feel like it was kind of touch and go. I especially at first wanted to hide like my disabledness. So like sometimes I would try to act like I was capable of doing something, like, you know, like picking up like a bottle of water or like grabbing something from across the table. But as time passed, I just realized like, hey, I gotta be more open with them and more honest about what I am physically capable of doing. So sometimes I'd be like, hey, Antoine, I'm not able to reach that. Can you grab it for me? Or like, I need help lifting my arm back up, or I need help getting resituated on my chair. And over the years of being together, I just grew a lot more comfortable with asking him for like more help, like more intimate tasks such as like lifting, going to the bathroom, things like that. So yeah, the educating kind of took place naturally over the years as I got more comfortable sharing more about my physical disability and like what SMA really meant in terms of what I was limited of doing, but also what I was capable of doing independently too.
That's a great response. And I think that's, you know, other couples I've had on the podcast have talked about that as well. Like whether it's their spouse or partner is also their caregiver, or just, you know, as they become closer, you learn a lot about each other and the nuances of SMA over time. So, yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And then, Janelle, on that note, too, can you talk about your caregiving situation and, you know, what role Antoine plays in that?
Yeah, so currently my caregivers are my parents. Antoine, actually, he's not technically my caregiver, but when we do see each other on the weekends or on holidays and stuff like that, he does a significant amount of caregiving that I didn't really expect him to pick up on before. But as our relationship has evolved, and he's stated that he is committed to helping me out and things like that, I grew more comfortable with him, like, actually helping me, like, doing transfers into, like, my chair or onto the bed, or getting help with toileting or changing, things like that.
That's awesome. And Antoine, what was it like for you learning those aspects and, you know, as you became more comfortable with each other and learned more about SMA, what was it like taking on some of those just informal caregiving tasks? And again, going back to your point about being ignorant a lot about disability initially, how did that kind of help change your mindset?
So like in terms of like caregiving related stuff, the simple stuff like, oh, can you grab that, move my arm, you know, tilt my head, put my head forward, like that stuff, I was like, oh, you know, easy, I don't mind, it's like whatever, not much physical stuff. When it gets to stuff like lifting or using the bathroom, at first I was like, you know, I'm not like swole, like I don't work out, I have like T-Rex noodle arms, like like when I went to the conference and I looked at other people, I'm like, huh, so you take care of your other, you know, your partner, you look pretty, you know, fit, you know, kind of thing. But I'm just like, who's the lankiest guy here? Is it me? Oh, shit. But anyways, helping her use the bathroom, it gets a little strenuous, but it's fine. Just figure out how to lift without hurting your arms or back so much. You know, turning, it's fine. What also helped recently was we got a Hoyer lift, and basically I can put Janelle to bed by myself, which is great. That helps a lot. In terms of like the other mental parts of helping someone with a disability thing, mm-hmm. It's just like, well, I mean, I've kind of reached some mental conclusion that, you know, Janelle is my partner in life, so what she needs help with I can do, and there are many things that I need help with too and that she can do. Janelle is really talented and good at stuff, and just made me realize that, you know, Janelle is a wonderful person, and like, yeah, just helping complement or supplement each other's needs kind of thing.
That's great. And well, and Antoine, I think what you said too about, you know, the hesitation initially about doing some of the physical tasks and stuff like that, I think that's pretty natural for anyone with a new caregiver. And I know it's speaking from my perspective as someone that with SMA, anytime you get a new caregiver, whether it's a significant other or, you know, paid caregiver or whatever it may be, there's always that. I think it's very natural to have that reservation on both ends, because you want to make sure you're handling the person properly and communicating well. And Janelle, I know you and I can relate to this as far as like when you get a new person, it's always daunting, like regardless of whether they, what their physical status is, just a matter of communicating your needs. Because it's like our parents, longtime caregivers know exactly what to do. But when you're training a new person, there's a lot of communication and leeway and whatnot.
Right.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And then Antoine, you mentioned the conference, so let's talk about that next. So, Janelle, you were saying earlier that this was your first CareSMA conference last year. Can you talk about, I'll ask you both of this question, but Janelle, if you want to start, can you just talk about what that experience was like and meeting, you know, a large portion of the SMA community in person?
Yeah, of course. So, last year was my first SMA conference. And it was actually something that I was not aware of until I think it was early 2022. And I saw a friend of mine that I met through a Biogen like meet and greet for Spinraza. I added him on Instagram and everything. And I saw a story of his where he put a link to like the Cure SMA Conference 2022, and it was at Disneyland. So I was like, ooh, I've never been to Disneyland before. And I kind of need a big reason to go. Like, traveling in itself is challenging. But then, like, when I clicked on the link and I saw that there's, like, a huge community of other people with SMA living from, like, not only in the U.S., but, like, in other countries as well. And that they were, like, people were traveling to this conference specifically for people with SMA. I was like on board, and January or February, so the conference was like a few months away. So I just kind of did all my research, reached out to people, and signed up for a scholarship. And before I knew it, I was planning a trip for my parents and Antoine to go to California for the conference. And like, the conference is like a huge deal to me. It was like, from Hawaii, I probably only knew like one or two people with SMA, and they weren't exactly around my age, so I never really connected with them or anything like that. Going to like a place where like there were like hundreds, maybe thousands of other people just like me, it was like exciting, because like for once in my life I felt like there were a ton of other people surrounding me that understood exactly what I was going through. And there were like other families as well that like were able to like understand and support one another. So it was just such a great experience for me. Like, I met people who were doing amazing things, such as like driving an adapted vehicle, or meeting mothers with SMA that I didn't even think was possible for women with SMA to have children before, but there they were right in front of me. It just really shook up my world, really. And I just had so much fun being able to like meet new people, see what resources were available to me, and like just really making connections with other people with SMA just like me. And I think moving forward, what's really helped me out a lot is that I communicate with this community of friends that I've made from this the past conference, and I check in with them, and they check in on me, and it just feels great knowing that there's like a support system, like other people that I can just vibe with and really understand on a level that's different to like my family or friends that might not really understand SMA on such a intimate level as people from the pure SMA community does.
I love that. And and it's really interesting to the way you got involved, because I think that's the case for a lot of people in recent years, a combination of word of mouth on social media, and then, with treatment advances and, people in the community get involved with pharma companies, all of those things. Because I have, for me and several others, we're kind of like veterans of conferences, and I've been going since I was a kid. But it's really interesting to see how much the community has grown in the past years because of those things. So so I love that you found out, and that's awesome. Yeah, that experience. And Antoine, so same question to you. Can you talk about what going to conference was like for you and meeting this, large portion of the SMA community in person?
It was a cool experience. Janelle always wanted to go to Disneyland. So it like that year it lined up, because it's like, wow, it's at Disneyland. That's like, on the bucket list of Janelle's stuff. So she wants to go to Disneyland, SMA conference. And I was like, yeah, cool. Sign me up. I'll pay for our ticket or, whatever help she needs paying with. I'll help. Going to the conference was cool. I learned a lot of interesting stuff. They had like the workshops. Like there was one for, was it the genetics one about birth? And like, there was like a workshop, forgot the name. It was like, going over like, yeah, some numbers with SMA, like, one in every, like, 10,000 live births, give or take. You know, people are affected by the SMA, and it was cool stuff to learn and got to see a lot of other people.
Well, and I'm really thankful for sharing that, Antoine. And also, like, did you get to meet other partners, significant others, while you were there?
Oh yeah, there was a workshop where it was dedicated for people who were partners with people with SMA. Mm-hmm. So like mm-hmm. between like partners, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, etc. So we just got around talk. It was kind of awkward at first because we were just like, respectively, I felt like we knew we were just the plus ones. You know, like the conference was for our, you know, partners, for them to have fun, and we're just there to like help them out, and you know, but we got to chat in the end, so it was fine.
But just, well, hey, I will say, I mean, like, while you think of conferences as, you know, obviously, you know, the push is for people living with SMA and families, but that's the cool thing about them is like it's very much designed to be inclusive toward other people, like, you know, significant others, siblings, and that's why they have those workshops. So don't sell yourself short. I think it's very, I mean, you're just as much a part of the community as anyone else. So, but I'm glad you got to experience that. That's really awesome. That brings it to about travel. So that was your first time Disneyland, but like, Janelle, Antoine, was that your first like really big trip, or had you had other travel experiences before? Because I know to get out of Hawaii, yeah, you got to fly anywhere.
Sorry, there's like literally a plane flying overhead.
Oh,
now,
wow. So. Perfect timing. I planned that just, you know, for that moment. Exactly. But we'll let the plane to pass. But that's really funny, the timing there.
So California, actually, I've been to California before. Wait, we've both been to California
separately.
Separately.
I went to California for like a high school field trip for robotics.
Yeah, but I mean, so for traveling, I think this was like
it was Virginia and then Washington, Seattle.
We've been to other states before, but we were traveling with family members back then, which means we had like a lot more support. This trip around, it was just me, Antoine, and my parents. So, like, the amount of support we had traveling was a little bit more limited than we're usually used to. Sorry, could you repeat your question again?
I was just curious about, what travel experience you had before, but was this your first big trip together? And if so, what did, what kind of planning did it take? And, you know, what was it like managing the logistics of flying, getting there, et cetera?
I would say it was one of our major trips together, just because we, as I mentioned earlier, we didn't have as much support from like my siblings who would typically travel with us, but we're a lot more older now and they have their own families to support. So yeah, just me, Antoine, and my parents. Traveling wise, yeah, figuring out the logistics were a little tricky at first because wanted to make sure that things, since we wouldn't be at home with like all the things that I typically needed. I think my biggest concern was making sure that I actually bring like my devices that I need, so like my BiPAP, and making sure that my power wheelchair would be able to safely make it onto the plane cargo and, you know, safely back when we landed in California. Transportation to the conference hotel, that was tricky, but that's a whole different situation and story. Yeah, it's just like, usually when you think about traveling, it's stressful as it is, but when you include like a disability, like with a power wheelchair, assistive technology that you need to bring, medication that you also need to travel with, it gets really sticky. But I mean, all in all, I was able to put a plan together and the plan went pretty much all right, and it was still a great trip despite like some challenges we faced along the way due to travel.
Oh, I know how that goes. Logistics and traveling with a disability is always a whole nother layer to it that you know, people outside our community don't really recognize. But that's really awesome. I'm glad that you got to experience the conference, and I'll see you all this year as well. So that'll be really cool. Awesome. And Janelle, Antoine, can you both talk a little bit about your daily lives? And, you know, I know you mentioned work and everything. Can you each just talk about, walk us through a typical day of the week for you, and also in relation to your lives as a couple?
Sure, I'll go first. My general weekly schedule is over the weekends, I go to Janelle's house and we spend the weekend together. During the week, I work and I like do other stuff. Basically, I'm at home. So like Monday, I have work and then I play like D&D after work. Tuesday, I have work and then I go play Magic the Gathering after work. And then Wednesday, I have work and then I go play Smash after work. And then Thursday, I have work and I have like some extra spare time for like grocery shopping or like working on helping Janelle making stickers for Cute Little Arts. And then Friday, I go to work, and then after work, I go to Janelle's house. And then Saturday, Sunday, we spend the weekend together. Could be anything. Like, we could just be hanging out at her house. Maybe we'll watch a movie. Maybe we'll go eat lunch or dinner somewhere. So just anything. But that's pretty much my weekly schedule. Sometimes a holiday pops up. Sometimes other things pop up. But, you know, that's, like, generally how my week goes.
And Antoine, quick question. Are you going to see the Dungeons & Dragons movie in a couple weeks? I'm hearing really great things about it, and I bought tickets. It looks good.
Yeah, I saw the trailer first, and I thought it was really cool. And this one time, I think like January or something, or February, we went to go watch a movie together. And you know, at the beginning, they always play like trailers and previews for movies.
Yeah.
So then the D&D trailer popped up, and I was like, Janelle, we're watching that.
Yeah, so like you kind of decided on the spot that we are gonna go watch it. We don't have tickets for it yet, but we're probably gonna watch it like in April or something.
It looks good. It looks good. I've read some good reviews and stuff, so yeah, I figured that would be on your radar. But yeah, that's awesome. Well, thanks, Antoine. And then Janelle, same question to you. So can you talk a little about just your daily life, what a typical day in the week looks like for you, and how it intertwines with your relationship?
Yeah, so as Antoine mentioned, we typically see each other on the weekends or holidays or day offs and stuff like that. But Monday through Friday, I wake up in the morning, I get ready, I go to work at the office. And you know, like typical 9-to-5 fashion, get home. And by the time that I get home, I switch gears because I'm working on my art business and like other hobbies that I enjoy doing. So I feel like I'm pretty much a busy body. Like I always want to be doing something. So, work in the morning, and then in the afternoons and evenings, I'm working on my art, or I'm working on hobbies, or I'm not working. I do my hobby things, or I like doing volunteer work too. So there's always a part of me that's just doing something different. Friday afternoons, Antoine comes over after work, and that's kind of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is when we get to spend time with each other as a couple. So yeah, going out on dates or hanging out at my place or kind of planning for like our next pop-up event for my business. That's pretty much what we do in our free time together.
That's awesome. No, I really appreciate that. And just closing out here, unless there's anything else you want to mention, I just wanted to ask you both, what advice or message do you have for others in the SMA community, and particularly other interabled couples?
You want to go first?
Just, you know, find out what you're comfortable talking to each other about, because sometimes those conversations need to be had. And for the person like not in the wheelchair, sometimes them having a disability is not like their problem. It's also like your problem in terms of how you like mentally internalize and deal with it. It's like, you know, whether or not that turns you off like as in like a red flag or no, that's like up to you. If you think like I can't deal with someone in a wheelchair, that's fine. But if you're, you know, open to seeing what the other person is like, they can be a pretty great person, just like anyone else. And yeah, you just gotta be open about it. And yeah,
that's great. No, I love that. And Janelle, do you want to add anything to that, or say anything to others in the SMA community?
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I mentioned how in the beginning, when our relationship was still fresh, that I was afraid of showing how disabled I was. I felt like when I was able to get over that mental hump and be more open and honest with Antoine about what I wasn't physically capable of doing, that's when like our relationship started really evolving more, because I could be more open and be like, hey, I honestly can't do this. Like, I wasn't trying to hide the fact that I wasn't able to do things physically independently by myself. And like just being able to share with him, like, hey, I do need the extra help. I hope, like, it's hard to put it into words, but usually I like to shy away from being so transparent about my disability. And I'm sure other people with disabilities feel this way too, especially around strangers or people that they're not really close to. But I feel like for a relationship to grow and develop, just being honest about my SMA and sharing that with Anton has helped a lot. Sorry, it just feels like word salad right now.
No, that's great. Yeah, that's great. I think you know, you did some great stuff there, and I really appreciate both your perspectives. That's awesome. Well, Antoine and Janelle, thank you so much for coming on today. This has been great. And also, where can people find you? Because you do have, I mean, your Instagram account is about your lives as an interabled couple.
Yeah, so it's funny. After the SMA conference, I was like, I kind of want to like have a platform where we can share more about our lives and like just like random life adventures that we go on as an interabled couple. I was like especially inspired by like seeing other interabled couples such as ourselves. So I was like, why not just share pictures and like videos of what we do and see where that goes. So I created an Instagram account, so called JNAXSMA. So it's just my initial, his initial, separated by an N, and then the X, and an SMA for spinal muscular atrophy. So I occasionally post on there and share things that I do, what we do together. And yeah, I mean, if anyone just wants to check it out and just see what we're up to, or like booty spots on Oahu, then yeah, feel free to check it out.
That's great. And I'll definitely put a link in the description. So awesome. Well, Antoine, Janelle, thank you so much again for coming on today. And for our listeners out there, you can hear more stories and conversations like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast. You can follow us directly on our main website at smanewstoday.com for all the latest SMA news and perspectives, and check out our forums and social media. I'm Kevin Schaefer. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.